The following message was recorded at the Pastor Summit 2025 at Hometown Church, Bloomington, Minnesota. Healthy Leaders Map by Dave Ping and Rick Beamer.
Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for just all the work that's gone into organizing this time together, all the speakers, all the seminar leaders. Just pray that you would use everything that we have taken in to just equip us to be effective leaders, to just continue to build your kingdom and to honor you. We give you praise and glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, my name is Rick Beamer. Briefly, got involved with Great Commission in 79 when I was a student at Michigan State, helped start a campus church at Eastern in 85, was part of I-85. Somebody mentioned that. I think Rob Gerber mentioned that earlier today. Some of you younger folks may not know what that's about. I won't get into that. And then helped start a community church with Jeff Moore, who is now with the Lord, back in 88. He got sick with cancer, and we tried to keep things going, but we didn't have enough, critical mass to keep things going, so we dissolved. So now I'm not a part of a Great Commission church. I'm in a mega church in Novi, Michigan, 3,000 people. I was blessed by our lead pastor who hired me to be in charge of discipleship, where we developed a discipleship pathway. We hired a consultant to help us go through a process where we identified the main thing was we had this whole menu of opportunities and resources for people to get involved in. He said, you need to develop a map. You need to develop a discipleship pathway. So we're kind of taking that same concept with C1. Tony mentioned the app earlier today where we have all these resources, and we've talked about how it needs to be more of a map and something that guides you through, because discipleship and gaining in healthy attitudes and lifestyle, it's a process. It's a process. So I wanted to start off by citing Brent Knox and what he said in his little blurb before his to introduce his seminar. He said, the world sees leadership as a way of exalting self by exerting power over people or gaining affirmation. I'm going to edit that a little bit. I'm going to say, church leadership in the hands of unhealthy a person can become a way of exalting self by exerting power over people or gaining affirmation. Okay, so just to start off pointing out the importance of our health, our spiritual health, our mental health as leaders. Okay. So let me ask you these questions. Just let these questions sink in. Are you healthy? Are we healthy? How healthy are we? How do we know whether or not we're healthy? How do we know? You know, these are really, really important questions that we need to address. They're really relevant. Rob Gerber gave a talk about church authority. Your authority as a pastor. You know, it's ordained. But authority is like fire. Okay, how many of you have sat around a campfire roasting marshmallows, enjoying just a really cozy time? It's wonderful. Yes, we've all done that. Anybody had to escape a wildfire? Anybody had your house burned down by a wildfire? Fire has the power for a nice, cozy experience and a very destructive experience. Authority in the hands of an unhealthy person can be very destructive. How healthy you are determines, is a factor in how well you handle your authority. Let that sink in. That if that doesn't scare us, it should. We've been called, we've got a high calling, we've got a huge responsibility that God has given us to, as Rob said, to influence people, but not to overpower them, right? A couple of quotes. They're fairly long, but I'll try to get through them really quick here. first one is by this author named Michael Kogan. He said, we make doctrinal instruction and theological precision a priority, but we tend to neglect psychological healing in matters of the heart. We say we emphasize the cultivation of Christian character, but we consistently overlook psychological compulsions, relational woundedness, and emotional reactivity. This approach to leadership formation breeds disintegrated pastors who sooner or later will implode, as will the ministries they are a part of. As a pastor or elder, theological orthodoxy is critically important to the health of the church. Throughout the Bible, it is clear that our good deeds are filthy rags and cannot earn us salvation or God's favor. The question that needs to be addressed by denominations and committees assigned with the assessing the next generation of leaders in the church is, are we giving orthopraxy any consideration at all? That was a new word for me, and this will define it here. Where orthodoxy addresses right doctrine and teaching, orthopraxy means living the Christian life consistent with the example of Scripture. It's your practice. Orthopraxy is more concerned with the fruit of the Spirit and living a life consistent with the life of Christ than just being a gifted preacher or teacher. Orthodoxy and orthopraxy are both vital in assessing a leader in the church. So, obviously, this seminar is about orthopraxy. And Dave, in a minute, is going to take you through some exercises for that. Okay, the next quote is by Henry, is it Nouwen?
Nouwen.
He said, "The long, painful history of the church is the history of people ever and again tempted to choose power over love, control over the cross, being a leader over being led. Those who resisted this temptation to the end and thereby give us hope are the true saints. One thing is clear to me, the temptation of power is greatest when intimacy is a threat. Much Christian leadership is exercised by people who do not know how to develop healthy, intimate relationships and have opted for power and control instead. Many Christian empire builders have been people unable to give and receive love." I want you to think about 1 Timothy 3, qualifications of an elder. And I want you to think about 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. What's the percentage? How much of that is devoted and emphasized? How much is orthodoxy emphasized versus how much orthopraxy is emphasized? If you think about 1 Timothy 3, there's one verse that I can think of that addresses orthodoxy. And even that, it says he must be able to teach. It doesn't say he has to be an excellent teacher. He's got to be able to teach. All the rest of it is character. And that's one of the things that attracted me to this movement was the opportunity to be part of a group of brothers, a brotherhood of men who focus in on that character and to be a part of that. Now the challenge with all this, and the problem, or in a more positive way you could say, the opportunity. 1 Corinthians 13, again, after the love section, it describes how, you know, in this current condition that we're in, we don't see things perfectly. And guess what that includes? That includes myself. I don't see myself clearly. It says we look in a mirror dimly, but then we will see him as he is, and things will become more clear. Okay, so in my assessment of how healthy am I, there's probably things about me, as much work as I've done to try to be healthy, I know there's still things about me that are not healthy. Because I'm still here. I'm on this side of heaven. All of us are. And we all have things that aren't healthy. And the more we're unaware of what those things are, the more potential damage we can do as leaders, because of the position we're in and how people look to us and listen to us. Okay, so that's why this focus on orthopraxy, healthiness, is so important to what we're doing. If we're going to be a positive part of serving God and his purposes and the development of the kingdom, right? It's serious stuff, okay? I learned this, I took a class from Dave probably 30 years ago at EMI, because I wanted to teach the listening skills class, okay? And I learned in that there's stages of skill development. You've probably heard this. The first stage is you're unconsciously incompetent. You don't know what you don't know. Second stage is you become aware of the things that you're not competent with, so you're consciously incompetent. And then moving along, you get consciously competent and then unconsciously competent. It just becomes second nature. All right. Similarly, I think there's a similar kind of progression with our awareness, self-awareness, and how healthy we are. If we start off unconsciously unhealthy, we don't know where our weaknesses are. We don't know what we're not good at. We don't know the negative impact we have sometimes. We don't know the habits that we have that are casting a shadow and having a negative impact on other people. And then hopefully we can get to the point where we're consciously unhealthy. We become aware of the things that are about us that are unhealthy. Okay, and that's really what C1 and what Dave is going to share is about, is growing in that self-awareness. Now, in the church that I'm currently at, where I was discipleship a pastor for a number of years, we invited a consultant to come in who guided us through a process. And the goal was to make our disciple making more effective. And the main conclusion we came to out of that was we really value deep discipleship, but we've got this menu of options. And if you've ever been, to the Cheesecake Factory? Their menu's that thick. It's that thick. I remember going there and just, it's like, uncle, you know, our waitress, what do you recommend? That's what we're going to have. I can't choose here. And when you've got so much of a menu like that, you don't know where to start. So again, we've talked to C1 about going, taking that menu of options and creating a menu so that you have a starting point and a direction and guidance through it. And that's what Dave and I are offering here. Personally, is we want to be available to help guide you through that process. But today is just kind of an introduction to get you plugged into that. At Oak Point, we knew the key to, you know, this orthopraxy-focused discipleship process, the key was self-awareness. People needed to grow in self-awareness. And the way that we developed that, we started off, the goal was to get people in life groups, but we started them off in a group setting where we were teaching them the listening skills, empathy. And, you know, people come to that at all levels of awareness and skill. But by participating in that little community, you get to see others who are more skilled at empathy. You could see people who are being empathized with, the lights coming on and the insights that are happening and the self-awareness that's beginning. And you're participating in that process, and just by being there, you're absorbing that, and it's become a part of you. And your taste for that is developing and growing, and you want more. And so that's kind of the beginning in creating an environment where people can explore and self-explore and become more self-aware. Second part was Scazzaro's material, Emotional Healthy Discipleship. I describe that as like, it's like a spotlight that shines down into your inner life, and you start to identify the things that you're becoming self-aware of, and you're making connections with what's going on in your life now, with what you grew up with, and lies that were put into your life, habits that were developed, modeling that took place, etc., that's shaped you. And then the third step, once people have this level, this greater level of awareness, we use transformation prayer, formerly called theophostic, to be a laser that identify, you, once you've identified those issues, you can shine a laser in on what the specific lies are that God wants to speak truth to, so that your mind can be renewed and your life can be transformed. Okay? I thought it was brilliant. Brilliant process, okay? But our senior pastor who had all this vision retired. We got a new pastor, and that's COVID wiped all that out. So anyway, that's what happens. That's what happens. Anyway. Yeah, a little funny story. What's that?
It's all much for the happy ending.
Yeah. A little funny story about self-awareness on my part. I swim Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings, and sometimes I'll go to Costco on one of those mornings to pick up some things. One morning I was there, and as I was leaving, one of the clerks said, just so you know, I want to let you know that our senior hours are changing to Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I'm like, well, thanks for telling me. And I'm thinking, why'd she tell me that? And I'm walking out, and I get out to my car. Oh, I'm a senior. So, see? We don't see myself that way. But I look in the mirror and I go, it's true. Right? So anyway, I want Dave to come up here and just let you know, he was the director at EMI for a number of years, he has retired from that recently, but he's still around. He's still doing stuff and meeting with people and doing a lot of coaching and making disciples. He has a wealth of experience. He's worked with several great commission churches for the last 30 years, so he's familiar with us and our culture, and he just...
Could you snap that on? I can't
sure.
see it.
I need a valet. So anyway, I hope you enjoy. He's a lot of fun in kind of a weird way. I think you'll enjoy him.
So what's EMI? Yeah.
Equipping Ministries International. And by the way, I get all excited. I'm kind of a geek. Oh, thank you. See, we just need the technical people who know these things. Thank you so much. And so, I'm a card-carrying weird person. You can probably tell, and I'm totally unself-aware most of the time. So actually, I'm going to start out by saying I was attracted to Great Commission. And because you guys are just a whole bunch of crazy people. I mean, seriously, crazy people are the best people. I think the people who follow Jesus, you kind of go, a guy says, hey, come follow me. I'm like, okay. And you know, they're very interesting people, you notice. And Jesus kind of gets frustrated with them from time to time. You notice that? So what were they called? Disciples. Okay, yeah, say it just like I said it. Disciples. Okay, so we're called to make disciples. Okay, and everybody is a little bit stupid. You don't have to raise your hand. I was just raising mine. Okay, so I'm going to actually walk through my whole life work has been to try and make complex, difficult, confusing things simple enough to understand and to do something about. Okay, and that second part is the hard part. And so when Tony and some people were getting together, C1 Network, I kind of came alongside a little bit, and we started talking about creating some tools that would help people make disciples. How many of you guys are, that's your heartbeat? I see this movement as being a disciple-making movement, and that's the power of it. Okay, so... to start off with, I'm going to, to prove my geekiness, I'm going to have you learn a couple of Greek words, because we already learned disciples. Okay. And the reason why I'm going to use these words, and actually, I have them here. These are the coolest words in the Bible. There's probably a few more, but, and I didn't spell them out. So the first one's a Hebrew word. And I have it phonetically. It's tamim. Everybody say it.
Tamim.
Together, 1, 2, 3. Tamim. Oh, that was awesome. I feel so powerful. Okay, so tamim is this beautiful word about what we are meant to be, what Jesus is making us into, what he has done for us. Tamim means without spot or blemish. Who's that? It's Jesus. And so for the whole Old Testament, we're hearing about without spot or blemish. That's what makes us what God wants to make us. We're intended to be without spot or blemish. Not just pretty good, not just okay, but the highest possible standard. And why is that? Because we're going to reproduce. And what we reproduce has to be of the highest possible standard. Now, in the New Testament, the same word is kind of brought into Greek. It means very similar thing. And it's teleios or teleios, if you want to do it. Say everybody, teleios.
Teleios.
Okay. And it means, it's translated most of the time as perfect. But what it means is wholeness, completeness, maturity. And the way I like to translate it is exactly what God means us to be. So this rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and he says, what must I do to have eternal life? And basically, Jesus, what did Jesus tell him?
Obey the commandments.
Yeah, obey the commandments. And he goes, done. Got that covered. Okay? And then what did Jesus say? One thing, if you would like to be perfect, teleos, go, sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, come back and follow me. What was Jesus trying to do with that? It seems like that's kind of rough. But he's trying to tell them what we are really trying to do here is to make you what God intends you to be. Just look around. Look at the people here. What does God intend that person to be? What does God intend that person to be? What are you intended to be? It's not just a slightly better version of yourself. Spotless. Without spot or blemish. A picture of, an experience of, a son of God. You are like Jesus. Wow. Is that crazy or what? If you think it's crazy, just go. Okay. Now, the reason I give you those words is because our goal is super high. God's goal is super high within us. So, we're going to be tamim. We're going to be teleos. That's his goal with us. So what's wrong with... But how do we usually begin? We don't begin with what's whole and perfect and spotless and without blemish. We usually start with what? What's wrong with the church? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with this thing? That's not how you begin. So when we're talking about a map, okay, not a menu, not a map. We're talking about a map to the journey that God wants us to take, which is not like a normal journey. Most normal journeys, you're going from point A to point B, and there might be some stages, and you have to figure out what you're doing. In this journey, it's a journey into becoming what you're meant to be. Now, wrap your head around that for a second. This is a journey into, and I want you to pull out your multicolor map. And none of you guys are old enough to remember that Disney's wonderful world of color. And it began with a song that said, the world is a carousel of color. So that's what that is. It's a carousel of color. Yes? You know, we ran out, but I think I can arrange for us to get some, at least black and white copies. Okay? And so, yeah, definitely you guys need to have one in that row. And you notice there's some numbers in between the colorful wedges. Okay, and if you notice, the deeper you go toward the center, the higher the number, right? So 5 is where we want to be. Okay, so, and we're going to just go through each one of, so what we did is we, at C1, we were had some long discussions about what are these key areas of becoming not just a disciple, but a disciple of Jesus, that we're going to grow into what he means us to be. And so there's lots of biblical stuff, so I'm just going to go through the categories one by one. And you'll notice that the pages after that first page have some scales on them with some questions. And by the way, I will get to the final Greek word. We will get there. Okay, so the first word... Let me start. So starting with God's perfect tamim and teleos will, we're going to seek first the kingdom of heaven. And it so happens that we worked it out so it spells out the word faith. Okay, so this is a faith-based process for becoming the person that God intends you to be. And the way we're going to start is by figuring out where we are now. Because, by the way, if you have a map and you don't know where you are now, how good is that map for you? It's kind of irrelevant, isn't it? So we have to, and by the way, you're all disciples. You have to start where they are, right? So have you tried to do it the other way? How'd that go? No, not very good. So we have part of this map is to get people to find themselves where they are in these areas. And you can call them spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices or spiritual awareness. But we're going to try to help people figure out where they are so we can help them to get where God is going. Now, you may notice the questions or the scale things are pretty high. So you're actually taking a picture of this is what God wants for you. Where are you on a scale of 1 to 5? And I want you, actually, can somebody just read out the top line on the first one?
Under focusing.
So first of all, yeah, go ahead and read the definition.
It is clarity and fulfillment in my spiritual calling and gifting.
So clarity and fulfillment in my spiritual calling and gifting. So where am I now? So read the top line of the first response.
I'm following Jesus, using my spiritual gifts, and seeing God produce great fruit as a result.
Okay, is that where we want to be? Okay, because that's where God wants us to be. It's like, sometimes, no. I'm doing that consistently, and I'm seeing great fruit. Okay, so, and actually, just if you've got a pen, just since we did that question, circle one. One of those numbers that you think best pertains to you.
Circle one.
No. That would be me. We start with me. No. Circle.
I didn't catch you.
A response. How's that? Thank you. That was awesome. Yeah. Some of you that worked, but no. Okay, so everybody marked a number. It's hard to do this, isn't it? We're really having to look and see where am I according to where I need to be and want to be, and where does God want me to be? Okay, and so I love this kind of process because it pushes me to take a deeper look. And our map is toward the center of where God wants us to be. Okay, so what I'm going to do is have you guys, let's see, I want you to actually go through, let's see, everybody, you have to have at least one person who's got the map in your group. And let's just have groups of three, since the chairs are kind of set up that way. So in a group of three, and I want you, first of all, to quickly discuss I'm going to go through the categories, and then you're going to quickly discuss which category is your biggest challenge, the one that you want to work on, because I figure let's start with the hard stuff. Okay? So let me walk through. So the first category we just talked about. So focusing. And so Ephesians 1:18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you were called, and what are the riches and the glorious inheritance of the saints. I know what I'm supposed to, who I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm opened up to what God has for me. So that's kind of, I love that. There's 1,000 scriptures that work for this. Do you know anybody in your church who has no idea what their calling is? Have you ever got stuck knowing that for yourself? Yeah, so this is an important category, isn't it? Knowing how to do this. So that first category, so that's the first one about calling and clarity in your gifting. All right, so the second one is abiding. So that's if you're still going down there. And that's increasing in the richness and intimacy of my personal relationship with Jesus. How important is that? Yeah, super duper important. Okay, so Romans, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Okay, so this is a pretty important category, and Again, you're thinking about the general category, and you're thinking, which one do I need to work on the most? That's what you're thinking about as I go down these. Right, so the next one is inspiring, which is, actually, I love this word. How many of you have met somebody who's inspiring? What did it do for you? I mean, did it change you? Yeah. So we want to be inspiring, but to be inspiring, we need to be inspired. Okay, so that's, and by the way, if you have had a situation like that, I'm shooting some video later on today, and I'm trying to get everybody who's been inspired by somebody to give me a short bite about what happened. So that's just on the side. You people who are listening, call me. All right. So inspiring, the scripture we have there is Romans 1, 11 and 12. For I long to see you that I might impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we might be mutually encouraged by one another's faith, both yours and mine. I just love that idea that we're meant. That's, by the way, how many of you are here because somebody inspired you and this, it's been an inspiring place. So yeah, that's what this is all about. Okay, so the next one is teaming. And teaming begins fruitfulness and gratefulness in my daily cooperation with others. Does that affect you guys as leaders at all? Okay, so this you notice these are all heavy lift kinds of things. Okay, Ephesians 4:16, all of Ephesians if you really want to go crazy with it. For whom, we're talking about Jesus, the whole body joined together by every joint in which, with which it is equipped, with each part working properly so that the whole body grows, so it builds itself up in love. Okay, I love this scripture stuff. This is, by the way, this is how, did you ever see Sister Act, the movie Sister Act? And the nuns are going out in the neighborhood to start kind of reaching out to people, and they're trying to talk the Mother Superior into it. And one of them says to the Mother Superior, that is why some of us became nuns, because we wanted to help people. So this is why we are here. This is what it's all about. Okay, so teaming, healing is the last one. Did I do healing? No. Teaming, no, healing. So steadily growing in spiritual, emotional, and relational wholeness. So constantly growing. And I have Ephesians also there. By the way, I love Ephesians. Oh, you got some more?
In full Disney color.
Whoa. Yo, no, wait a minute.
Raise your hand if you need
okay, now wait a minute. Before you do that, don't raise your hand. Look toward Dean. Raise your hands out toward him. Say, we're not worthy. We're not worthy. Okay, so Ephesians 4:15 and 16, speaking the truth in love. Talking about healing. By the way, how many of you need that? The reason why I have to work on my healing is somebody speaks the truth in love to me. And it's usually my wife. And mostly in love. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Did I do that the same time? Anyway, same concept. I'm not sure what verse we had in the material. But anyway, let's go into it. So you got abiding, inspiring, teaming, and healing. In your group, confer, and just say, tell each other which one of those is the one that you most need to work on. And you can tell Tony what he needs to work on most. And if you are willing, go ahead and mark the numbers after you tell the guys in your group. The one that you need to work on the most, just mark the numbers in that category.
Yeah. the test or just
part? Just the part that you're talking about. Yeah, for yourself, just do that category that I just mentioned. Yes. The one that you decide is the, why not start from the high dive, right?
Yeah.
I should turn this off for a bit here. So remind me to turn this back on when I want pause.
They would rather you just leave it on all the time than to risk not putting it back on.
Okay, so it's still on record, so does that look right?
Yeah.
So I wasn't... Okay, that's fine.
So I'm down
Let's start with the hard one for you. So, have you guys figured out which ones yet? Are you still working on it? Okay, keep going. Keep going.
You wear so many hats. I mean, too many hats, perhaps. I don't know.
Perhaps the first one, focusing. I think I do understand my spiritual gift, but I just try to be more focused on the people that I'm working on. You know,
so as honestly as possible, go ahead and rate yourself on everything in that category. Yep, give yourself, and be as honest with yourself because that's what's going to help the most. This is a little bit of vulnerability, but... And just on his, you can do your own as your if you've decided what your own is.
Well, just do our weakest
area. Just do the area, your weakest area, not the whole thing. And so, and the, by you doing your weakest area, you're going to be able to share vulnerability too. So you're going all five in the in your weakest section. So do go.
Okay, so choose one and then say them.
Yeah, so whatever they choose, just that section.
That sounds good.
Okay. One and all each numbered the group underneath it and say, where am I now?
Okay.
So we're doing all five in your weakest section. So if you have a different one than him, you're doing your section, not his. Okay. All right. You understand? So as you've chosen the weakest one for you, they're going to mark theirs. And while he's marking his, you're thinking about your weakest section and marking yours. And then you'll talk about it. So you guys figured out your weakest sections and you're marking them up? Okay, all right. I'm just checking because it's usually the leaders that are the hardest to lead.
Yeah, no, this is good.
So you guys running through and people are picking their weakest category and going all five questions under that category?
Yes.
Okay. And while they're marking theirs, you could be marking yours. So it's all good.
You're all so. All I know is I have a lot of time. How many people are in the church that have been here so many days and grace is responsible? And people in my
mind. I would not have
those in the natural
lot of fun, huh?
Yeah, I suck.
Well, no, just it's you have to really.
Yeah. All right, so you want us to evaluate ourselves in our one area.
Yeah, and then you're going to share kind of what you want to share with the group.
Okay.
You don't have to like tell them your most embarrassing moment, but just go ahead and just share where you are, and then we'll talk about it as a group in a little bit. Okay. And this is something, as you do it, you can do it with other people and be vulnerable with them because you're also in this process. So you're helping them figure out where am I in this area? How am I doing? By being vulnerable yourself, you might be able to. You don't have to do all of them, but you can. Yeah. You have about 7 or 8 more minutes to keep on working on it if you want.
And talk about hopes for beyond pointing out this is the area I think I need the most work.
I'll talk about that as we go, but the basics.
You want us to actually fill this out or circle numbers?
Yeah, if you in that one category, yes. And because what it's going to do is give you, once you know what the goal is, then we start to form a plan. Does that make sense? Yeah, circle your numbers on the one that you chose. It is, my life is completely embarrassing, so I might as well share. Well, this is interesting because what happens is people seeing you from the outside don't know what's happening on your inside.
Yeah.
I think that one's an average of a low because it's like
Oh, you're already averaging. That's really great. Okay.
I mean, we had this in the...
Okay, that's all right. It's good. Because to me, just kind of quantifying, it's like, oh my gosh, okay. And then we'll talk about what you can do with this. And C1 has a... I'm hoping they're going to get it back up soon.
Yeah, I don't want to have to. We changed it and did something, moved it off of the format. So now it's again.
But I think the great news is we can still get them to point to the area on the website.
I think the next step, the real step, is a session with you guys to say, all right, well, maybe this is where y'all can get. Just maybe try. What's the thing you wrote that down to based on what they come up with in your one?
I think that possibly, if you wanted to, we could do little mini coaching with people, make that available for people if they're at that. What's the best place for you to start based on what's available?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, but I mean, but to do it, they can call on and make an online connection to somebody who will help them.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, is 5 minutes too much, or are you done?
It's 3:35.
I know, we're
that's ready
why. To go. Okay. Yeah. I'm just checking because I want to give people as much time as I possibly can. Okay, are you guys pretty close to done?
We could go on.
I know, this is the kind of wonderful deep stuff. Yeah.
Could we have another hour and a half?
You have to talk to somebody other than me. Okay. Well, I'm just going to have people finish up then so we can tie it up. Okay. You guys are probably just finishing up, am I right? I hope. Okay. So if I give you 2 more minutes, will that be... Okay. So 2 more minutes and you can keep on talking about this with other people because you still have the little chart. And they're still here at the conference.
Okay.
So we're gonna wrap up in about 2 minutes just so you... And then I'm going to kind of give you some... thoughts that will help you make it valuable. Yeah, well, and what to do next. So you got about 2 minutes, and then we're going to move on into kind of how do you use this, and let's get practical with it. Well, if you've done the whole chart, you can plot the whole chart. But you can plot that one area. Yeah, so if you just did one area, unless you guys are like amazing and you got it all done, you are awesome.
I thought we were supposed to do this.
I like you. You're like an overachiever.
No, I thought we were supposed to do this.
Well, I didn't mean to have you do everything. I just wanted you to do one category. Okay. But if you did it all, go ahead and do it now because that would be awesome to...
Okay.
And then tell me in a couple of minutes
after
you're done doing it. No, just tell me what that tells you. I mean, just what that does that tell you about you? Okay, good. Okay, we're wrapping in 1 minute to this part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect. So what does that tell you?
It tells me I am an egg.
Yep.
So,
that's the area that you feel the most need to work on. Okay? So what's nice about this is it's very clear. It tells you where to start, and it probably tells you what's next. Yeah, those two, and then you kind of say, I'm doing pretty good in the healing area at the moment. And doing this with somebody who can give you feedback. Is it all right if I'm not going to show yours, I'm just going to say that you found something. He said, well, I'll just say he's got an egg, he says.
He's got an egg.
All right. So go ahead and finish your sentence. Go ahead, finish it.
Okay.
All right. Okay, everybody, kind of exhale now. Whew. That's more work on discipleship than most people do in an all-day thing. You guys, you ran at it. That's good. I love that. Okay, and I like Greg is always the extra mile in the minute. He filled out the whole survey, everything, and he already plotted it on his graph. Okay, I said that to Dean, we're not worthy. So, what did you tell me? I thought it was great.
When I plotted it, it looked like an egg.
Okay, so if you've got an egg with an oblong kind of a piece, that pointy part's going to stick out of the top of the egg. And so what Greg saw right away, and is it right if I mention?
Oh, yeah.
So he needs to work on abiding. Okay? And what I like about this is immediate feedback. You're getting immediate feedback about at least what you think right now is your weakest or your strongest areas. Okay, so, and if you want to plot the one area that you did, you can put it on there. And then I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and finish the whole thing after the session. And
I'm intrigued. What,
go ahead.
Of them, like just show of hands, who put focusing as their number one thing?
Focusing?
Number one need or number
one? One more need, yeah, need.
Yeah.
Who put abiding?
Thank you, Tony. Look.
Okay. Who had inspiring?
Look at that.
Okay. And who had teaming?
Yeah.
And who had healing as your number one thing?
Need.
Now, what Tony just did, what did you notice about that?
He was taking down names.
He was writing names.
I was memorizing.
But what's and credit card numbers? No.
Right, yeah.
No, but what?
Evenly distributed.
It's very evenly distributed, and what that tells us is that's pretty valid in terms of what we're looking to understand. Okay, so how do you use this in a discipleship setting? Okay.
People have to move their churches around.
There you go. If everybody is really good in one area, all goes in, no. Actually, it's funny, just churches are like that. I've been in more churches than probably anybody here. I've done all kinds of training in all kinds of places in all kinds of countries. But what's amazing is you'll meet churches, they just focus in one or two areas. And so people get discipled in those churches in those one or two areas, and then they end up being weaker in the other ones. So this is a more teleos tamim sort of a way to operate. So the best way to do this is in between to have, you can do it yourself, but doing it yourself, you're not going to get feedback. So if you can do it with somebody who knows you or is willing to know you better, that's the best. So it's kind of a discipleship process. We're discipling each other lots of times as we do this. And so I recommend that. Go ahead.
Well, we were just commenting, it might be wise, see what you think, to have someone else evaluate you.
Yes.
Because we tend to be our own worst critics. Well, I suck at this. But someone else may say, actually, I think you're gifted at it.
Yep.
Or the opposite.
And that's exactly where I was going. So the best way to do this is with somebody who knows you, who can be in a position to disciple you in that area somewhat, and say, speak truth in love. And speaking truth in love so that you're not deceived. Now, here's the weird thing about deception. If you're deceived, you don't know it. But somebody else might know it. And so this really is how we're operating as the body of Christ with each other. Yes?
Greg is great, right?
Yeah.
So I did this, and I was really shocked
and I said I had no clue how bad my teaming was. And it was surprising to me. Greg says, boy, I would not have thought that at all. And then he says, take the one guy out that you're having trouble with. How is it? And then it became my best category.
Yeah, now see, that's really interesting, isn't it? Did you guys follow? So the whole idea that in this moment of life, that might feel like your worst area when it's really a very strong area. And that's why you need to have people who know you, who can speak into your life. And that's what discipleship is all about. And if you're doing it and you're not doing it with somebody yourself, that's kind of like, I don't know, that sounds like a surgeon doing surgery on themselves. By the way, have you ever thought about, no, don't do that. Okay. All right. So any other observations? Because I love what we're getting.
Thank you,
James. Super helpful. Yes.
One question that Frank asked me that was really helpful in my area of focusing, that he said it's been a focus at his church as they're evaluating gifting, is just asking the question, instead of what are your strengths, because people tend to have a hard time, he said, evaluating their strengths, just what frustrates you when it's not done well within the body. So for me, it's when people are left stuck.
Yeah.
You know, that really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just very, it really ministered to me in asking me that question. It was very helpful. I mean, we could have talked for 2 hours.
Yeah, and what really bothers you, framing it that way is kind of cool, because it's probably where your passion point is.
Yeah.
And yeah, which tells you something about the gifting. It's a wonderful thing. I saw another hand somewhere before. Yes, okay.
Maybe it's self-evident, but I just want to try and ask you. So it makes sense if you have churches who are emphasizing one or two areas, that trickles down into everyone in the church. Why do you think that is normally the case when you see churches, that they emphasize one or two of these areas rather than having a spectrum of all points? Maybe that's a very self-evident question.
Yeah, well, I don't tend to teach or preach on the things that are embarrassingly bad in my life. No, I don't mean that in a horrible way. I just mean the tendency is if you have a focus and a passion and a desire, that will be coming out very frequently, and you tend to lead your people into the place where you're strong. And so the tricky part is we're not going for strong in one area. We're going for teleos. We're going for tamim. So not just fewer spots, spotless. And by the way, I've been digging into all kinds of cool things about that idea. And if you're around at lunch, you have to talk to me, because those words are super good. I'm going to give you the last word, and we're going to continue the conversations. I know you guys love discipleship, and this is your thing. I'm pointing at Tony because he's the one who kind of recruited me into doing this. But on the C1 app, the menu for the whole app is these five areas. And so if you know that one of your areas that you want to work on, and you just go to that app right now, choose that area, and it will point you to all kinds of resources that will help you. And I'm actually shooting video on one of the areas, inspiring, because not a lot of people have been doing work on how to get inspired and how to inspire others. And so we're actually actively working on trying to figure out how to create some tools to do that. And by the way, I think that's the number one need out there right now for reaching this generation. Mm-hmm. So they're all important, but that one is a missed opportunity. Okay, so I'm gonna give you the last Greek word, and then we'll call it a day. And I'll be here, and Rick will be here. I think he's here somewhere. Where's Rick? Oh, there. See, I'm looking everywhere. Everyone has a blind spot right there, you know. So, but we'll be here. And if you have other questions and ways to get engaged, and by the way, C1 is an underutilized resource at this moment. There's a lot of great stuff you can connect with, and they need people who can help do some of these things. So if you're a disciple who wants to disciple people, we were just, Tony and I, talking about how can we get people talking to somebody who is great at discipling. Okay, so this Greek word is really an interesting word. So it comes from the verse that's probably one of the most important ones in your whole deal. Let's see, where did I put it? This is where I have to remember where I am. I have my Greek page. That's the problem here. See, I promised to do it, and then I'm really slow. All right. So seek first the kingdom of heaven. And what's the next part of that? And? Oh, I left something out. So this is the word righteousness. Okay, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And it's actually pronounced just for fun. So the first part of it is rhymes with seek, since it's seek first. So deek. Is everybody deek?
Deek.
Everybody be very relaxed and say, ah. And use like use, guys.
Use.
Not the guys. So deek, ah, you, suo. And it's actually throughout the Bible, righteousness is actually, it doesn't mean being cool, because I can't pull that off, but it means right as God intends, the same idea. God's value of being right. And God is not being right to be cool, but it's the only thing that works. So God, it'll only work if God's right way. Okay, so that's where we're going, is there's only one way, and it's the right way, it's God's way. Amen. All right, thank you guys. And he's raising two hands because he's got a question. I went a little bit over there. So, Tony, since you got me into this. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Rick.
One of the things we talked about doing was, and some of you may be aware of this, having a cohort. For those of you who are doing some counseling with your people, Dave and I want to be available to do a cohort. Maybe a 5-week session, whatever, once a week, just to provide supervision, encouragement, to get affirmation. You tell us about your situation, some of the issues you're dealing with people, and you've got some guys who are a little experienced, and we can give you a thumbs up or some direction about what to do with people. Okay. So if you're interested in being a part of that, I've got a sign-up sheet here. I'll leave it on.
Actually, I have your sign-up sheet.
Ooh, and he's got he's got a clipboard. Okay, wait a minute. He got a clipboard.
Legibly.
I am not worthy.
All right. So actually, I was going to point to Tony to pray, but let's close in prayer. This is a sinner's prayer because I think we're pretty much all knowing we could work a little, get more. So just pray for us out the room, and we'll be here. Tony can do it, or you can do it, either one who wants.
All right. God, we just do thank you so much for these men. Thank you for the experience you've given them. Thank you for their willingness to pour into our lives and support us and help us with the ministries you've given us. And we just thank you again for even the tools that they've put together and shared with us today. Help us all, Lord, to grow and to disciple in a more balanced way. The people that you've given us care for. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. This was fun.